Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 11, The Beda Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, page 43. Although Haridas Thakur was such a highly exalted Vaishnava that he was addressed as Haridas Goswami, he still did not like to disturb the common sense of the general populace. Haridas Thakur was so exalted that he was addressed as Thakur and Gosai, and these titles are offered to the most advanced Vaishnavas. The spiritual master is generally called Gosai, and Thakur is used to address the Paramahamsas, those in the topmost rank of spirituality. Nonetheless, Haridas Thakur did not want to go near the temple, although he was called there by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The Jagannath temple still accepts only those Hindus who are in the Varnashram order. Other castes, especially those who are not Hindu, are not allowed to enter the temple. This is a long-standing regulation, and thus Haridas Thakur, although certainly competent and qualified to enter the temple, did not want even to go near it. This is called Vaishnav humility. Yes?
Sometimes people refer to the deity as Thakur, my Thakur deity.
Yeah, it's definitely a Paramahamsa. He's above the material energy. Yeah, so I mean, these names have many wide ranges, but he's just kind of saying here, we see with our acharyas, certain ones are called Thakur, and certain like this. And so that just shows their Paramahamsa standing in that. And then, so Haridas Thakur, then, he's the topmost Vaishnava. Technically, if we look at it, we go back a little bit in history, then... he's the one that actually did the installation ceremony for the temple.
That
means Indradrumna Maharaj, he did the installation. Who was the priest? Lord Brahma.
Sure.
So he actually did the installation for this temple. And they don't know who he is, and they're not going to let him in and all that. But that's the thing, is he doesn't care. Yeah, right. In your dreams. Yeah, so it's... Because for the Vaishnavas, these social standings aren't actually important for themselves. You know, if it has something to do in the preaching and this and that, then you have to consider that. But otherwise you can't take it very seriously. You know, it's like I think Prabhupada mentioned something, when you do outside programs, they should give some donation. He says they want to hear for free, come to the temple. We have free programs. But if they want to invite us out, then, there should be some proper reciprocation. Otherwise, they take everything cheaply. So you do have those aspects as there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, the various degrees that he had, so that the devotees, in their names, they would have afterwards, the titles and all that. But they would be Vaishnava degrees. He didn't think, we should get Karmi degrees. He just were Vaishnava degrees. And people see the letters and they'll ask, what that? And then you explain it and you get the preach. So... like that, but otherwise for themselves it's not really that important. Right? People understand, don't understand, it doesn't matter. So Haridas was there for us. You know, this is his humility. Even though he's Paramahamsa, he's the topmost, still he didn't worry about all these things. 211, 166, 167. Haridas Thakur then expressed his desire. If I could get just a solitary place near the temple, I could stay there alone and pass my time. I do not wish the servants of Lord Jagannath to touch me. I would remain there in the garden alone. That is my desire. So it should be somewhere close by where you can see the temple, but not in a way where people have to go by and would bump into him and see him. That way he can just stay where he's staying in the garden there and no one would have any reason to go by there. That is my desire. When this message was relayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the people, the Lord became very happy to hear it. At this time, Kashi Mishra, along with the superintendent of the temple, came and offered respects unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing all the Vaishnavas together, Kashi Mishra and the superintendent became very happy. With great happiness, they met with the devotees in a befitting manner. Both submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give us orders so that we may make proper arrangements to accommodate all the Vaishnavas. Accommodations have been arranged for all the Vaishnavas. Now let us distribute Mahaprasad to all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told Gopinath Acharya, please go with the Vaishnavas and accommodate them in whatever residences Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent offer. Then the old Kashi Mishra and the Lord told Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent, as for the remnants of food left by Jagannath, let them be delivered to Vaninath Rai's charge, for he can take care of all the Vaishnavas and distribute Mahaprasadam to them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, nearby my place, in this garden of flowers, is a single room that is very, very solitary. Please give that room for me, for I have a need for it. Indeed, I shall remember the lotus feet of the Lord sitting in that solitary place. Srila Prabhupada, this statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is significant. Nibrite vasya tara tahar kariba smaran. I shall sit down there in that solitary place and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Neophyte devotees are not to imitate sitting in a solitary place and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We should always remember that it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who wanted such a place, either for himself or Haridas Thakur. No one can suddenly attain the level of Haridas Thakur and sit down in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Only an exalted person like Haridas Thakur or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is personally exhibiting the proper behavior for an acharya, can engage in such a practice. So that means this solitary room, where the garden is, that's in Kashi Mishra's, his area. Aha, okay. So that means then he's just close to Lord Chaitanya. Means where Lord Chaitanya is staying in that garden there, then there's a house, and then he's staying next to him.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in his place right from the beginning. It was his place.
Yes, I'm saying he's staying in his place at Kashi Mishra's, but it appears that Kashi Mishra's place is so big that there's a garden, and then there's a little single hut next to the garden.
Yes.
And so then Haridas Thakur, they're all staying in the same compound. Okay. At the present moment, we see that some of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are tending to leave their preaching activities in order to sit in a solitary place. This is not a very good sign. It is a fact that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has condemned this process for neophytes. He has even stated in a song, Pratishtara tare nirajanera gare tavahari nama kevala kaitava. Sitting in a solitary place, intending to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is considered a cheating process. This practice is not possible for neophytes at all. A neophyte devotee must act and work very laboriously under the direction of the spiritual master and he must thus preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only after maturing in devotion can he sit down in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to teach us a lesson, he traveled all over India continuously for 6 years and only then retired at Jagannath Puri. Even at Jagannath Puri, the Lord chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in great meetings at the Jagannath Temple. He still went out for Harinam Sankirtan. I think that never stopped. He would always do that in the day. You know, so the day was with the devotees, and at night, then he would spend with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, yes. The point is that one should not try to imitate Haridas Thakur at the beginning of one's transcendental life. One must first become very mature in devotional service and thus receive the approval of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only at such a time may one actually sit down peacefully in a solitary place to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The senses are very strong, and if a neophyte devotee imitates Haridas Thakur, his enemies, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, will disturb and fatigue him. Instead of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the neophyte will simply sleep soundly. Preaching work is meant for advanced devotees. And when an advanced devotee is further elevated on the devotional scale, he may retire to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra in a solitary place. However, if one simply imitates advanced spiritual life, he will fall down, just like the sahajiyas in Vrindavan. Right, so the neophytes won't do it. The madhyamas are going to preach. So the neophytes are preaching. The madhyamas are preaching. Then if it somehow or another works out, then they might sit down. But otherwise, even we see the uttams, they're also still preaching. They come, but they act as madhyamas, so you won't know. 211-177-184. Kashi Mishra then told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Everything belongs to you. What is the use of your begging? By your own will, you can take whatever you like. My Lord, we are your two servants, and we are here just to carry out your orders. By your mercy, please tell us to do whatever you want." Saying this, Kashi Mishra and the temple inspector took their leave, and Gopinath and Vaninath went with them. Gopinath was then shown all the residential places, and Vaninath was given large quantities of food, Mahaprasadam, left by Lord Jagannath. So Gopinath would situate all the devotees in their rooms, so they take him to show, and I think he'll decide, you know, according to the place, who should stay where, because he knows all the devotees. And Vaninath, then he will distribute prasad, like that.
They'll probably go back to the same residence every year.
Yeah. Yeah, good chance. Yeah, because Lord Chaitanya went and stayed at the same place that he stayed the first time he came out. So yes, I think so. That's the purpose of the government of the temple having so many places, is to use for, you know, the Vaishnavas and other such, you know, important devotional work like that. Unless, you know, they have things that they use for government service, but how much can you use? So, it's just like how you say, in Paris, and they took Versailles, right? And then they make the government place there because after the king left, but that they could never fill it up. They can never know what to do with it. And then they move out, they move back in, they move back out. But they should have just, you know, given that for the Vaishnavas. You know, that would have been perfect.
Yeah. Actually, we are looking for something.
Yeah. It's just, because everybody would come there because of the parks, that Louis would allow the people to come in, and they can move around the parks as long as they dressed well and behaved properly. So even though it was private gardens, he allowed them to come. So everybody would be coming to the gardens, and then you can do Harinam right there. You know, Harinam there, the program is there, plenty of place for distributing prasad. You know? Perfect, huh?
We tried.
We were only, what is it, 200 years too late, right? Thus, Vaninath Rai returned with huge, large quantities of Lord Jagannath's food remnants, including cakes and other good eatables. Right, so it wasn't the salties, the sweets, and everything like that. So cakes means those all those nice prepared kind of things done with rice flour and all that, the patisaptas, all those, they're all considered cakes. Gopinath Acharya also returned after cleansing all the residential quarters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then addressed all the Vaishnavas and requested that they listen to him. He said, "Now you can go to your respective residential quarters. Go to the sea and bathe and look at the top of the temple. After so doing, please come back here and take your lunch." After offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees departed for the residences. Gopinath Acharya showed them their respective quarters. Right, so they went to their quarters, they would put their things, then they go to the ocean, they bathe, sing, you know, from there the chakra and all that, then they come back, take prasad, you know, and then at some other time they'll go in and take darshan.
4 months like this.
Hmm?
4 months like this.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it doesn't get better than this, right? You know. Verses 185 to 196. Yeah, and also he goes and gets them all organized and that, you know, cleansed, so that means whatever it is, then there'll be so many servants and assistants that could go and take care of everything, you know, and all that. So, and it's just two people took care of it. You know, it means two people took the responsibility to oversee. Then they had many assistants, but two people took that responsibility.
Sometimes in some places there is some problem with the devotee about how to take care of one place. For example, the garbage. So it seems that at that time it was so organized that the guests, when they came, they were only guests, to be said.
Yeah, no, they were only guests.
And if Gopinath Acharya and Vaninath, they were caring about all the needs of the devotee.
Yes, yes.
But it seems that this is, you can say it is a perfect situation, but how to apply the situation now?
How to apply in our life? It's the whole point is if Vaishnav Seva is seen as something important, these things will be worked out. Because if it's a matter of taking care of the Vaishnavs, then it's whatever facility you have, then, you know, people take care and, you know, who stays where and prasad and all those kind of things. So we don't have to worry about, because Krishna takes care of the Vaishnavas. And you take care of the Vaishnavas, the facility will be there. You know, if we were considering, oh, economically this, that, then, you know, don't have to worry about those. You just make your endeavor and Krishna will take care. But you have to put in the effort that is proper. See, the first thing they did is went and cleaned it.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes. Like that, and then they arranged the prasad. And then like that, then they all stay and do the kirtans and that. And so there's so many assistants in all this. So we hear about the prominent personalities, but there's so many devotees involved.
Yes.
You know? Because they're devotees and they're all servants of Jagannath, so there'll be others who are there. But, you know, nowadays, because everybody has to be mentioned, you know, instead of, you know, Gopinath Acharya, you know, you have to have a committee there, and then they have to discuss who should go in what room and all that. And eventually it just, you know, they just, you know, everybody, just whoever gets there first, they're not going to clean it and all that, because you couldn't work it out in the meeting. So the point is it's just directly taken and applied. And then Krishna will give intelligence, it'll work out. Because before, the temples would invite, would be having a program. Remember, we went to Chicago for the installation of Kishore Kishori. The Srila Prabhupada was coming there. And so Prabhupada was coming on a particular date. And so devotees came from all over America. So it wasn't just a few devotees, tons of devotees. I think they were, I can't remember how many they were feeding, but it was like easily, I don't know, some hundreds, but whatever. They all came. And they all helped with the work. I remember I was in the kitchen straight for 30 hours. You know, I mean, literally 30 hours. Because it was like 2 days until Prabhupada came. So we were just cooking. And others were making the altar. Others were doing the temple room. Others were doing the clothes for the deities. So everybody did. And, you know, everybody's there. Everybody has a place to stay. Everybody has prasad. You don't worry about those things. It's just there's more devotees, so you give, you know, you make more arrangement. like that. You know, then after we went to the San Francisco Ratha Yatra, you know, also, again, hundreds and hundreds of devotees came from all over. And, you know, you accommodate. Remember there they had, you know, because how you say, depends on where you are, but a lot of times in the West, they're not really big on bathrooms. You know, I have this big house and one bathroom. You know, it's like that. So the place where they were staying in that, I think other places where, you know, senior devotees and the householders and all that were using. So the brahmacharis, and I don't remember how many there were, but there were a really large amount of them. There was one shower. And the temple president, he stood there, you know, and encouraged everyone very pleasant, very nicely. You know, you had 30 seconds, you know. And you somehow you took your shower in 30 seconds because he was there. You were inspired. You knew that everybody else was there. And so, you know, like that, you know, everybody had their shower. Everyone went to Mandal Artik. And, you know, you work things out like that. I'm sure they went and bathed in the ocean, so it was a lot easier. They didn't have to line up for one shower. But the point is there, or when we all went to in 74, when we went for the festival there, you know, Prabhupada invited all the devotees to come, and so they arranged a single plane to take. They chartered a plane, so it started from New York. So the devotees came from all over America to New York, and so that means everybody's in the New York temple. You know, some hundreds of devotees are all there in the temple, and you know, it all works out. And you do some service or this or that. I remember when we went to, I forget where we were driving to. It must have been for San Francisco. We drove to Denver, so it's on the way. And when we got there, it's just you go in there, and then all the brahmacharis go to the temple commander, and you know the president goes and meets the president, and the brahmacharis go meet the temple commander. Okay, where do we stay? What do we do? So just a minute. Now he's your temple commander. You know, so it's like one temple. It didn't matter where you were, you did the same things. You know, and so that service attitude and so then everybody got on the plane there. Then they flew to London, and I think there was a day or something there before, you know, while all the devotees came from Europe, and so everybody, and we were in the Soho Temple, you know, which is, you know, about. That, you know, 1 meter wide and about 200 meters tall. You know, it's just a little dinky place, you know. And, we were all there. Where we stayed, how it worked, I don't know. I remember when we were, before we were leaving, we were all getting shaved. And there was one devotee, he was shaving everybody. You know, in about 30 seconds, he'd shave, you know. Like that, I was watching him so quick, and then I was there shaving. What he's doing, it's just like super light. You know, you don't even feel it, and just super fast, you know, like this. And I'm going, wow, you're so good at this. Did you used to be a barber? And then he says, no, a butcher. You know, and, you know, so he was good with the knife, you know. And then, you know, like that, just all the brahmacharis, he just, you know, probably in like, you know, half an hour, he shaved, I don't know how many people or less, you know, 20 minutes. It was like, you know, it was amazing. So it's just, you know, somehow or another it works. I mean, I remember somebody coming to the temple once, and they were amazed, you know, how, you know, like, you know, 50 people were staying in the temple that was meant for, you know, like 6-8 people. You know, the karmis would only live like that. So, you know, how do you all stay there? How do you not kill each other? You know, it's just, you know, everybody's happy. So that's the thing, is that with Vaishnavas, more people can accommodate in a smaller thing. When, you know, when we came to the festival, we stayed at the boundary wall. Those little rooms are 3 meters by 3 meters. And there were 6 in a room. You know, and you didn't feel uncomfortable. And then when they built the, you know, the long building was there, then we stayed there. It was also 6 in a room. Like that, you know.
Fogal Ashram.
Yeah, Fogal Ashram was like that, you know. It's like, you know, a few devotees sleep on the blades of the fans, you know. But, you know, it's like that, you know, you figure it out. So that's the thing, when you have that Vaishnava community, that sense, then you have much less of a difficulty for accommodation and prasad, and, you know, everything gets done. It just happens because Krishna arranges. But, you know, we take it, do that. And so that mood is there. That mood is there, it goes. And devotees come, they get inspired.
But when it becomes like individual, everybody wants to have his own place, like that, it's more.
If he wants to have his own place, it's like, how you say, internet, you know, has tons of places that you can look at. You know? You know, if you have some places and that, some devotees are there, it's senior persons and things like that. They're taking part in the scene. They're not wanting your accommodation, prasad, then they'll do their own thing. You know, so it's there. Some devotees can put them up and this and that and stay, and you know, it always works out, especially for a short time and stuff like that. But you know, if everybody wants to do their own thing, then yeah, then you need some separate kind of place. You know, or if they just can't handle using the shower with 20 other people when you can't even... I can't remember what temple I was at. One temple you go to take the shower and, you know, you go to turn on the knobs aren't there. And you look around for the knobs and then kind of on the windowsill, they're up there. But, you know, that's the thing. You put them back there. You know, you use them and then before they fall off, then you put them back up there. You know, then the next devotee knows where they are. You know, so I thought, wow, okay, you know, it's worked out. They have their rules like that.
Traditionally, in Indian families, like during the marriage ceremony, one village goes to another village.
Yeah, true.
And it's not the responsibility of just the family who's conducting the marriage. All the villages, they are the hosts.
Right.
So it's like in your family, it's happening and. Your home, there is no place. The friend, next people that come, they take care of it.
Yeah, because next time it's their wedding and you're taking care of it.
So it's much more than...
Yeah, so that's community. Yes. Somehow or another, I don't know. Everyone talks about community, but I haven't as yet heard a definition of what that means or what it looks like. You know? Because here, community is this. So say one devotee was telling me, Marwari devotee. He was saying that his father was saying in their village, wherever. He was just saying amongst the Marwaris, because, you know, they travel all over India. I think there's a Marwari saying that, what is it? Something like, I don't know the Hindi, but something like Jaha Gadi Taha Marwari. Means wherever a train will go, there'll be a Marwari there. You know, you find them everywhere. So he was saying that the community is there. When someone new moves to the community, he said everyone would give one brick and one rupee. And that's not a problem for, you know. But with that many rupees and that many bricks, you can build a house, you can start your business. And it doesn't cost, I mean, and what does that cost for anybody else? You know, a rupee was probably worth a little bit more back then. You know. But the point was, is still, it was nothing. It'd be like saying nowadays, you know, you give, 10 bricks and 100 rupees.
Yes.
You know, if everybody in the community did that, someone moved here knew, that wouldn't be the problem.
Yes.
You know? So that would be how it would work.
Yes.
And so that's community. Community does these community works. You know, it is material, but the point is, the whole maintenance of the body and all that's material. You do it for Krishna, to engage in Krishna's service, so it gets engaged, like we were talking apara vidya. So the varnashram is how Vaishnavas maintain themselves, but it's not an identity, right? It's just that's how you do, just like your food, you pick it up, put it in your mouth. It's not that you have a whole philosophy about it, you know. So these kind of things, but then you have to have that mood. That mood is all over. Like you see here, it starts from the top. The king is telling the temple, and then that to make the arrangements. They're going, Lord Chaitanya, he's telling the man. It's going right on down, so it's all like that. So that's how it works. So when you feel that, so it's about that, you know, that common ground. Community means those with common values. And is that you know, that sense of security, that thing. But everyone's saying security, someone else is supposed to give it. You know, I will commit to this community when they all take care of me. And everybody says that. And that way nobody does it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, Everybody, you know, when I see it, then all that, you know. But then that's the whole point. It's all based on fear. Fear and, you know, other unimportant qualities that are just there from conditioning. And so then you can't base community on that. Community, you have to work, and there has to be ways to deal. And if something goes wrong, there's ways to deal. But they're not like these official all this and that. It's a matter of its personal dealings and personal interactions. I've seen here, like the manager here back in the 80s, 90s, like that. Then, yeah, 70s, 80s. Then there was a problem with two devotees. You know, it comes up that two devotees are having a problem. He'll call both of them right in front of him, right there. You know how you talk to the one, find out, okay, then you talk to the other, and then you think about it, and then you try to do something. You know, and it could take days, weeks, months, you know, like that. Or, you know, he would call both of them at once. And then whichever one he'd start with, you know, what's the problem? He, this, 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 and he turned to the other guy. Well, you're doing this? You know, no, that's not, and then within about 30 seconds or something like that, it's worked out. Because somebody's saying stuff that's not true, and other stuff is this and that, and there's hearsay and all that, and you just cut right through it. And just, you know, then tell them, you know, this is what you do, and just behave yourself. Like that is, you know, quite amazing. So, the principle of it's personal that makes it work. Pratyaprudra is personally dealing. His servants, you know, Kashi Mishra, the superintendent, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they're acting personally. Jatanya is personally dealing in all these. So the point is, but they're personally means they're getting their assistants to do it. Right? So here is that people don't personally get involved, and at the same time, if they do, people expect them to have to do it, not their assistants. You know, and here you would respect the assistant. That means all the Advaitacharya and that Gopinathacharya is telling him what room to stay in. He's not going, well, I only listen to Lord Chaitanya. You know, so you have all these different elements that everyone is personal. So there's the personal, there's responsibility, there's authority, there's submission. You know, the people are humble. They're willing to take direction. And so all that together then makes community. But when it's all based, when there's no trust, you know, just because one comes from a background of no trust. If you look at it, we talk community, but if you think about it, who comes from community? Who, before they became Krishna conscious, were involved in a community? You know, if they had community with their family, they were lucky. You know, there was a mother, a father, and the brothers and sisters didn't kill each other. You know. Like that. So that was pretty good. You might have a shot with them. But
It said that during this lockdown, 48% of Americans, teenagers, are staying with parents. It's highest in the last 2 decades.
Yeah, and they probably have gotten the living room, yet the couch is turned on its side, and that they're on this side, the parents are on that side, and as long as that, you know, like that. Now and again. A volley of pillows go over and then come back. Yeah. So who has community? You know? Like that. And who does have community, they generally, devotees joke about it. You know? Like that. You know, so that's the thing, is that you don't have that community. Because anybody who does have community is actually looked down upon by the first world countries. If you're Hispanic, you have some community, people look down. If you're Jewish, that's looked down upon. You know, you're from the East Bloc, that's looked down upon. If you're from the Middle East, it's looked down. If you're from Africa, definitely looked down upon. You know, you're Oriental, you look down upon. You know, Russians, they're kind of a little weird. You know, so the whole world has community except the first world countries. And they look down on those who have it. So if they want to blend in, they have to give up that community feeling. And so then the first world is going to lead in creating community? If they could, that would be fabulous. You know, they have the drive and everything, but they have to lead it to, they have to inspire people that know how to deal with community. You know? I mean, it's like LA is working really nicely. Nice sense of community. The person there is from, I think, Bulgaria. You know? Like that. He was from anywhere else, he wouldn't be able to do that. You know, he means look at major temple. Where's the community? So the point is because there's no experience. So it's hard to do something you don't have experience of. So since Prabhupada wants it, then you'd have to look at that. And that means not looking necessarily at the Amish. But even then, they're still not looking at the Amish. Because if they look at the Amish, hey, they're still wearing the clothes that they used to wear 200 years ago in Germany. So why aren't we comfortable wearing the clothes that people used to wear 200 years ago in India? No, we can't do that. You know, they eat the German food. Oh, no, we can't eat, you know, Hare Krishna food. You know, that's the whole thing. We want to maintain that full first world kind of profile, but have community. The two, the oxymorons. Like that. There isn't. You know, it's like, how many people are sitting at one of those tables on the side of the road, you know, drinking coffee in Paris? At one table?
No.
That's at one table. How many are sitting? One, maximum two. That's the whole thing. You know what? You see, if you go back to, what is it? How do you say it? Belly pock. Then there'd be four sitting there.
Yes.
You know,
six.
Eight. Yeah. So that's big. You know, it's gone down since then. So you go back that time, they had more sense of community. You know, we're artists, there's a community, or we're intellectuals, or we're gentlemen, there's a community. So that's the thing, is that community means a group. And we're saying, no, you have to break everything down, we're all equal. But then all equal then becomes impersonal. So that's the thing, is that, no, we are a group. Prabhupada constantly uses the cult of Krishna consciousness. You know, but, well, oh no, you can't use the word cult. Of course, it's a word. What does it mean? It means where somebody's cultivating. You know? Everybody's in a cult. You know, you're a journalist. You're in that cult of journalism. How they all talk the same. They all harass you the same. They all ask the same questions. You know.
Amazing how these 200 plus devotees traveled from here. The story was managed by one person.
Yes, by one person. Because before it was like that. Here, Mayapur, 200 devotees. One person managed it. You know, before it was like one person did these big things. But then, now we don't like, well, no one should have so much power, so it should be broken up to a committee so that nothing gets done. And if nothing gets done, that's not good, but at least no one's in power. Because, you know, we have a problem with authority. You know? So the whole thing is one has to accept Krishna as the supreme authority. And his potencies we saw, you know, in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, how his energies, they're all working under, they expand, they're all working under authority. Maya manages the whole material world. I mean, you don't have we've never met someone as big a manager as her. She manages unlimited universes, unlimited, literally. She manages one quarter of eternal, of unlimited. She manages that. You know, but she's doing that as a shadow, right? She manages three quarters of unlimited, you know, in her natural form. So the point is you have one person managing the cosmos, right? In two offices, you know. I guess they're right next to each other and talk. Yeah, just one second. They go through there. Well, yes. You know, they come back. Yes, please. You know, like this. You know, so like this. But she works under authority. She works under her husband. She works under the Lord. You know, so there's no like that. And everybody works under Krishna, and Krishna's under his devotees. So this idea that you're on the top, you don't listen to anybody, it doesn't work. And anybody who has a problem with authority, they don't like authority because of this, but as soon as they become authority, they're exactly the same. Exactly. You know, like clones. Exactly. Just not as good. You know, the other guy was authority, he could manage, you know, 1,000 people, and this guy's authority, like, you know, how you say, like, you know, Caesar, but, you know, he can't even, you know, he's still having the problem with the wet paper bag, yes, let's say. So the difficulty comes is that the first thing you have to do is get rid of this, you know, problem with authority. Because the point is, there's authority is Krishna. There's Krishna, there's representative guru, there's the Shastras. And if we have a problem with authority, we will have a big problem in Krishna consciousness. But in Kali Yuga, so many people have that difficulty. So it can be resolved, but you have to commit to trying to do that. You have to give up the political platform of trying to be in control so that you protect yourself. You know, or if you want that, then live outside, take care of yourself, come to the temple and come to the associate as much as you're comfortable with whoever you're comfortable with, and who can complain? But the option of I'm going to be in charge of the society because I can't tolerate anybody else telling me what to do, that's not going to cut it. So we have to see is that one has to be honest, know oneself, and situate oneself accordingly. Then you can create community. There's plenty of people that can do this stuff, like Gopinath Acharya and Vaninath, what's his last name?
Rai.
Vaninath Rai can do. There's plenty of people. But as soon as if a bureaucrat steps in front, these people will move back. They will. They will not, because bureaucrat can't do it, won't do it. Once full authority, zero responsibility. An actual manager will never tolerate that. They'll always step back and keep themselves busy. They'll do something. If they can do something connected with, they'll do. You know? Okay. You have the guy who's been coming around, seems to be quite competent, you know, does a little bit of service, been doing it now for the last 10, 20 years, steadily, stable, always there, proper to deal with, nice, no problems and all that. There's a good chance he's one of those people. Otherwise, how is he so steady? How is he so confident? How is he so qualified? But at the same time, he only does that much. Why? Because everybody else knows what they're doing.
That's Ratna Bhushan.
Hmm?
That's Ratna
Bhushan
in L.A.
Oh.
Same service, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Handyman.
Yeah, that's because they'll always do that. That's the thing. Those who are actual administrators, if it's ideal for that, they do practical work. Because you accomplish something, you get something done. It's like, I can't remember, I think it was in Bangalore. We were driving along, and on the side of the road, there was, you know, kind of up on a little bit of a hill, there was this big mechanic shop. You know, fix cars, do that, you know, one of those things, you know, tear it down, put it back together, that kind of shop. And as we were on drive, then Atmatattva pointed out that the king, or one of the Kshatriyas, maybe one of the brothers, he owns that place, he works there. You know? Or in Jaipur, then, you know, we were in, where's it, Makrana, the Maharaja Makrana, he just does marble and stuff. And he says, marble, you can get out there, man, to get out of the ground, get your all things done. So they keep themselves busy. And they'll just do on that level because no one else is interested in more. He could probably manage the whole city, but they don't want him to, so he just does his own like that. Then you'll see there'll be another class in that where it's just somebody's a very nice Vaishnava and they're steady because of that. And then they do this service and that's all the more they can or want to do. But the whole point is you know, it's always thought, oh, where are the people? Who's there like that? Well, they step back. When you bring up a bureaucracy, bureaucracy on top, they'll step back. Leadership on top, then they'll come forward. You know what I'm saying? So you see, wherever there's a strong leader, that so many people are there that can do so much stuff. And where it's not, it's a committee, there's nobody there. You know? So it's just the modes of nature. So the point is community means everybody knows who they are, what they can do. And they are just happy to take part in any way possible. And if that's there, then you can organize and do something nicely. One has a bigger capacity, he does more. And he has a less capacity, he does less. And then everybody fits in wherever they fit. Then it works really nicely. But if it's going to be just all this rules and blocks and this and kind of stuff that's not even natural, it's not even according to the direction of scriptures, then, you know, Which practical person wants to get directly involved in that? You know, they want to do service and they'll associate with devotees, but who wants to get involved in that structure? So that's going to be the problem. Right? That, I would say, that's your main problem. Your side problem is going to be baggage. You know, people just won't let go. You know, but they have to let go. You know, they have to let go. You know. So that's the thing. But that's not the main problem. Because someone who comes that's really, you know, spiritually inspiring, comes to the place and all that, has that kind of leadership and all that, these people come forward and take part. They don't have any problem. But even at some point you'll have to deal with it. But leadership can deal with it. Bureaucrats won't deal with it. That's the whole point. You deal with papers. Papers don't argue with you. Like that. You sit in a room with papers. Who's to bother you? Like that. Leadership means people, not papers. Does that make sense? So that means this, in principle, community is quite simple. Detail is very vast. But community is quite simple. It's a matter of common people with common values. Right? The point is common values. So we have that common values, Krishna consciousness. So we have the best basis for a community. But then you have to have its common values. That means common values and how you dress, how you eat, how you live, how it's your cleanliness standards, how you raise your children, how you interact, what is marriage, what is education. These are all the things. But this is the one, everybody makes their own decision, everybody's all right, there is no standard like that, as long as it's, if we're talking about Vedic. As soon as we have thrown out the Vedic, then say, okay, modern, you have to get it like this, 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 this. It's kind of like, what happened? I thought we were all equal and everything's like this. You know, in other words, I don't know Vedic, so I throw that out. I know I have some experience, so whatever I experience must be good. So everybody should do that. But that's why we can't do that. We're unqualified. Well, the Vedas are being spoken by Krishna and the great personalities. They're all, you know, beyond the four defects. So when they say this is how it works, that's how it works. But it's not about the rules of it. It's about these are things there. Just if everybody does like this, it makes it so easy. You know, pujaris wear unsewn cloth, right? It makes it really easy. And then you just, you know, it just works. You know, you wash your feet before you go in the deity room, you know. It's just, you know, simple things you just do. And just you have your simple things, and that's what they're for. We get too much on the rules and we bog it down. You know, we make it slow. So, yeah. That's why we need the acharyas. You see how where they put the emphasis. Chaitanya Charitamrita, how much detail they're going into. Details there, it's mentioned in the other shastras. But this is the actual main focus. The details are just there to support the focus. Right? You know, like we were saying in the drama, if the whole focus is on how to create an environment, you know, an arrangement, how the audience is going to experience, you know, transcendental feelings and be inspired. If that's the focus, then all the other things of, you know, the four kinds of aspects, you know, Abhinaya and all that, you know, and then what kind of dramas and this, you know, and all the details that come down, they all just fall into place. Because if it has to do that. So when it's about Vaishnav Seva, you know, and Krishna's at the center and then serving the Vaishnavs, and then Jiva Doya, when you have that, then it all goes down from there. But we'll start at the bottom and try to bring it up. It'll never work. You have to start from the top and come down. You know? So that's the thing, as he's saying, you know, at one point they came up, well, there's those who want to live a kind of more modern lifestyle and values, and those who want to live a more traditional lifestyle and values. So back in 1991, they decided we'll have different areas in Mayapur Project where devotees can live. Right? Because the problem is that if you have those who are, let's say, very traditional or very strict and all that, they're uncomfortable in a community where everybody's walking around half naked. And the ones that are half naked are uncomfortable when people walk around and they're fully dressed. You know? And stuff like that. Or you invite your neighbor over for dinner, but, you know, he won't eat it because it's not organic or, you know, like that. You know, or, you know, so just all these things and that. So then they just, that what was worked out then. And it was there and like that until just recently when, oh no, we can't make discrimination like that. Everybody's got to be here. We're all the same. We're all that. But that just means you clear everything that there's no community because there's no common values. It's that you won't set any value because you don't want to say, oh no, we don't want to regulate anyone. Though that's what the Vedic culture is for. But at the same time, we'll make a whole ton of rules how we'll regulate everybody by our own mental speculation. You know? And so that's the problem. Is that it's what is culture, what is community is not actually understood. It's very simple. But you have to understand where it comes from, how it comes down. You want to enter into Braj, why wouldn't you want to live like Brajbasis now? You know what I mean? On the internet you see somebody doing something and you want to do that, and so then people start doing that. I don't know, as I remember one time I was going along, you know, girls always had the pigtails. I mean, not pigtails, the ponytails, right? Then at one point it became the fashion in the West, you know, in America and England, London, and those ponytails. I mean, ponytails. Before they had braids. Ponytail means you just grab the hair and put something around it, and the hair's loose. And it wasn't the low place down here. That girls before would do it down here. This was up here, high. And so even the best is a baseball hat. You know, you put on the hat and then it sticks out the back and everything. And then suddenly, all the girls that were coming, they all had ponytails. No one braided their hair, nothing. It's kind of like, okay. So if that's the community, then yeah. But then, you know, some change, some like this. There's different modes. Then you're dealing with modes. So how do you bring all the modes together? You can legislate, no, this and that, but that's not going to work. Because otherwise, then what's the difference between you and the person before that you didn't like his authority that you got rid of? So then, how do you accommodate the modes? That's called the Varnashram system. Everybody has their modes, what they like, what they don't like, and then they get together. And why we can't run it is we want to have the top position and prestige, but we don't want to follow the duties of that position. So that becomes the problem. But you see here, one person can do this one nice thing, another can do it. So one's taking care of prasad for everyone, one's taking care of accommodation for everyone. You know, and as Prabhu mentioned, one person managed to bring them all down from Bengal to Puri, like that. You know, so you can do these things. But then there has to be, between all of them, there's common values. And the main common value is Lord Chaitanya. So that we have in common. So therefore we can follow.
You know? In this connection, we were discussing before about the four aspects of mission, institution, society, and movement.
Yes.
So the mission is to make pure devotees, and the
yes.
institution is like facilitating for that
yes.
one aspect.
Yes.
And society is, along with that, then giving people their place where they can dovetail their own propensities from.
Yes.
And the movement is anybody who wants to come in this line, then we are giving that space. Like
yes. It? Yeah, basically like that. So the whole point is that it all works together. Each one supports the other. So, but there has to be that common ground. But if we demand that, no, we won't use monomoy we won't use human life as the basis. We're going to use subhuman life, you know, the sub-religious principles of pranamoya, just, you know, whatever's modern social kind of things like that, as the basis of community, then you can't, where, like I said, name me who has, you know, if you go up to devotee by devotee, before you became a devotee, how many people were close friends you always hung out with? You know? And of those, how many were like, you know, confidential, you know, really trusted, really good friends? There's probably going to be a lot of people that answer will be zero. And others' friends, they'll be, yeah, they'll say they're friends, but if you check, they're actually more like acquaintances. And so then, you know, and that means they're living in the same city. There's people who became devotees, they never met each other before becoming a devotee. They're from the same city. Why? Because they're working in different aspects of the place. You know, you have your little scene with your two or three friends, and that's it. You know? You go to work, so many people, 30 people at work, you don't even, you know them, you say hello, but you don't associate with them. You know, so therefore, where's the community? Because each one has different. So if you use the modern, it means there is no community. Because anytime you see community, they have old world values. That's the way it is, you know. Latinos, they're Catholics. You know? I remember seeing this one article and that you know, was talking about some big Latino singer. Big celebrity. And all that. And she has her, boyfriend, and it's like high profile and all this and that. And somebody, I don't know, and the thing, it ended up about, you know, the intimacy of the relationship. And the girl says, "Are you kidding?" Says, "My mother would kill me." So she's one of these big celebrity, you know, this, everybody knows, all this and that, and they don't get physical. Right? Because in their community, they're Catholics, they don't do that stuff. When you get married, then you do all that stuff. You know? So that's just the way it is. So they have these things. They may be crazy people, but the point is they have certain rules that holds them together. You know? So that's the aspect, is that you have to, there's more, they have common values of what they do and all that. That's what brings it together. Otherwise, if you use the Anglo-Saxon model, then they have very difference in that. You know, if you're upper class, you have nothing to do with lower class. It's just the way it is, you know.
Individually.
Yes. But individuality, so that if everybody's individual, then I as an individual can make more by taking advantage and exploiting all the other individuals. But if they're a community, I can't exploit them. You know? So that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, you know, it's like even you have the community, they're doing something there, they're selling stuff to their own people, then you get into this price. If you're not in the community, then, you know, then they don't have no problem cheating and this and that. You know, so it's just the way it works. So it's you know. Like I once stayed in a hotel in South India. And it's one of these ones you'd never know it's a hotel. Because it's not meant for people off the street to walk in. Only people who are known go there, and you can bring somebody that they don't know, but you know, and then based on your status, they'll let them stay there. You know, very cheap, super clean. You know, they get everything done for you and this and that. You know, does that make sense? Like that? Yes.
All the Vaishya communities have.
That's what I'm talking about. They have their own hotels. Because you go out on your own, you go three states over to buy whatever it is and bring it back to your state, and you go and stay in these places. And they'll even help you and this and that, and they have ways to ship things. They'll do everything for you.
Food without onion, garlic.
Yeah, everything's there. And super clean places. You know, simple, nice, you know, no extra, but not uncomfortable. You know, big enough, airy enough, light enough, very clean, but no extra frills. Like that. And so, that's amongst themselves. No one else can stay there.
Even now they have many holy places. They allow only devotees to stay.
Yeah.
Because they know that we have that common value with them.
Yeah.
They give to us, but not to anybody.
Yeah. So the point is community means you're discriminating. Anybody can come and take advantage and be a guest. But the values are this. And people go for experiences these places because they want to get that experience. They don't have community, so they come to see what is your community. So that's the thing. It's cultural revolution. But if you say everything's one, that's Mayavad. Where's the culture? Right?
Something that comes to mind in terms of keeping the community together. The devotees went to Puri every year for almost 18 years.
Mm.
Each year they said performance.
Yes.
They spent what we discussed here, 3 weeks on the road on the way, three weeks on the road on the way back. Which means that almost half of the year they were gone.
Yes.
So for 18 years you have those villages half empty.
Right.
With practically speaking just the wives and the kids.
Well, a lot of times the wives and kids also went.
Sometimes the wives and kids went.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Every year.
Come on, Shivananda's dog went.
Yeah.
You know? He only went once.
But my point is they managed to maintain for 18 years half of the year.
Yeah.
Without the husband being gone.
That or even just only with two harvests. They had their labors and this and that. They weren't going. And so they would plow, they would take care. So you get your three seasons.
But I mean, it must have been shopkeepers, you know, traders, where devotees went to Puri every year.
Because the point is there's this... Because if you're working on natural wealth, then, you know, there's plenty of that. He means, now for the economy. See, it's like, the natural thing is like here. The thing will be very expensive, right? You know, the beginning of the season. And then at the main season, it's very cheap. You know? At least if you go to the market and buy it yourself. If you depend on the supplier, unless you say something, whatever it started with, and you're not complaining, he just keeps that price. But, you know, you go to the market, and then you find out, what? It's only 2 rupees a kilo? You know? Like that. And so there's plenty. There's so much. Because the whole pursuit of Vedic culture is pursuit of developing your God consciousness, you know, in your community with Vaishnavas and your service and these things. So then these other things weren't the big where everybody put the effort. Nowadays it's all in to, you know, your money and your facilities. It's all situational. And so then there's less and less. There's more and more shortage, and the prices are higher and higher. Money's harder and harder to get. So yes, in the beginning it'll be difficult. It's just like, you know, there's farming going on here. There's supposed to be farming going on here. Prabhupada liked it when everything was plowed, and that, you know, if we haven't built on it, we were growing something. And even then, as the city goes, you're supposed to have land outside that you grow on, like that. And so the difficulty comes is all these devotees come. Do they want to go out and work on the farm? They want to stay here. Do I want to work on the farm? No. They want to live their Western lifestyle in Mayapur. They don't farm in the West, so they're not going to farm here. But in the same light, in the West, they would not have a marble bathroom, and they would not have a maid from Tarinpur. So that's cheating. You're going to live local, you should do so, you know. And then they complain, nothing to do in Mayapur, you know, I'm bored, you know. There's plenty to do. So that's the thing, there's community, and you take part and you can do it. Some people get into it, some don't. You know? So it's just a matter of what someone's doing. Yeah. And you have to be able to accommodate all these different mentalities. There are going to be Vaishya mentalities. There are going to be Shudra, Kshatriya, Brahman. You are going to have that. you know, the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and say what you like, they're there. And then each one can live according to their nature, and at the same time is by following the duties in varnashram according to their nature, they'll get along with each other. They won't get in each other's way. Right? They won't step on each other's toes. But other than that, there is no system. Is there a modern system where everybody works together, the whole community? Right? Means communism. It's all Shudras. Right? That's it. They kill all the Vaishyas and all the intellectuals. And who does that? All the Kshatriyas. Right? And then, so you end up with Kshatriyas telling Shudras what to do. And then at some point, they revolt. And now there's a problem. There's no one there to knows how to make any money or do anything else. Right? So then that's a problem. You know, you look at the capitalism, and it's all about Vaishyas. They take over everything. Right? Hospitals are a Brahmin thing. Why does the Vaishya own it? Right? Schools are a Brahmin thing. Why do the Vaishyas own it? You know, law is a Brahmin thing. Why do the Vaishyas own it? Government is a Kshatriya thing. Why do the Vaishyas own it? You know? So that's the whole point. Is that it's that. But you all say, oh, it's for the people, and oh, we're all equal. And you know, so these things, they're political things. They're not real. Because if they are, we're about it. I mean, I have seen people who, if they accommodate everybody. I've seen them. There's two or three of them I bumped into. They have no problem with anybody, anywhere, anything, accommodate anything. But generally, in the modern society, they're considered a bit strange. At the same time, the people who think they're strange, you know, are, you know, we're talking community and we're talking about professional. These two don't go together. Professionals don't like common. You know, they said they just don't go together. Yes.
Also, people who come from the communist mindset, they're very insecure. Anybody else is forming groups.
Yeah, yeah. They don't allow nothing. You know, it's like, you know, China. You get anybody little group gets a little big. They get upset. If it's small, they know they could come in and get rid of it. Then they're okay. If it gets a little bigger, then there's a problem. So that's the point: is that all these anything other than the Vedic cannot accommodate very wide. It cannot. Amish, they're all farmers, and they fix cars.
They tried with the kibbutz, but it collapsed.
Yeah, because it doesn't have all the levels.
The youth walked out.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they turn them into
resorts,
tourism.
Yeah, make resorts, and then hey, who doesn't want to go to a kibbutz like that? Oh, is that why they bought? Would bring B'nai B'rith there to go and stay at the kibbutz to get them interested. Oh. Okay, now I get it. Yeah, I still remember Nan. Restated that one. So that's the thing, is where's the background, where's the samskaras, where's the mentality? And the very thing, we talk community, the very thing that can do it for us is varnashram. And it's the very thing that we insist that we can't use. Because it makes discrimination. We want no discrimination. But if you don't discriminate, then who washes the pots? Who takes out the garbage? You know? And if you can't tell the difference between pots and garbage, you got a problem. Unless you got so much money you can buy new pots every day. Then no one has to wash the pots and all that. And, you know, toss all the pots in the Ganga, and you know, no garbage, you know. Yeah. So that's the thing. Only the Vedic has that natural. Everything's there. It's the one thing that all solutions to all social problems are all there. You know, one may say, no, but there's so much problems. That's people who are materialists who are using it to their own advantage. But devotees don't. They use it according to how Krishna wants it to be used. So therefore, if there's a problem, become a better devotee. That will solve the problem. But to just find holes in it, it's just like, you know, the same people that joined the society because they saw the outside world had nothing to offer, now are poking holes in the society and pointing to such fabulous things that are going on outside. You know, how does that work? What to do? What we see here is that you know, the king gives order, so then they go to Lord Chaitanya, he gives the direction, it's all happening. And so that's the whole point, is that you have that leadership. Bhaktisiddhanta says what he gave that leadership. It's called the GBC. He has his own, so many temples, he sees what's the mood and all that, and then the managers get it done. Lord Chaitanya is not doing it. The people are managing ours, so therefore GBC doesn't do it, the managers do it. Does he tell them, put this one in this room and that, I want to see the list, and you know how much that, no. He tells them what to do, he knows the comment, they do it. He comes and sees. You can just see by walking, just like when you come in the temple, you know, you come in and this and that, just by how you walk into the temple, you know, when you go around the back, you know, where they park the car, what does it look like? It looks like a garbage dump. That means spiritually there's something wrong there. You go into the foyer, it looks like a go-down. There's something spiritually wrong here. You go into the ashram, it's falling apart. There's something spiritually wrong. The deities look all right, because at least they got that, and devotees are chanting, so at least the direct activities are going on. But you can tell, that's what they're supposed to see. No, we have to see the counts, we have to get into your, you know, check how many hairs you got in your nose, and stuff like that. You know, it's like, no, you're supposed to see the overall, what's going on. The consciousness is right, it's clean, it's on time. It's not clean, it's not all right. That's when Prabhupada came to Mayapur, that's the main thing he did, walk around and see if it was clean. One year, you know, because they had done that many years, and devotees would get very fired up. And then once he was walking around, he went around the whole project, you know, very seriously looking like that, went around all the buildings, and then finally he's going around the lotus building, right, at the end, you know. Like that, he's going up, they go around each floor, next floor, he goes around the roof, and as they're on the roof, and there's going the corner, you know, over in the corner, there's one wadded up piece of paper in the corner, and his problem goes, he goes, aha! He found it. But that was it. The whole Mayapur project, nothing. Like that. I remember the barber once, you know, after the, how you say? After the Age of Enlightenment in 1986, then I remember that, you know, the place is a mess. And I remember sitting at the barber's place. You know, and barbers aren't known to be the cleanest people, right? They just sit through a hair all day. He said, no, if the manager had been here, he said it would never have looked like this. Said, you know, when Prabhupada's here, it didn't look like this. When the manager here, it never looked like this. Said, now it looks like this. And that's the barber complaining, you know. You know, so that's the thing. Prabhupada would see how clean it is, how nice it is. You go, that was the thing. The temples were spick and span. They were so clean. That was the one thing. All the temples, there was nothing in them, and they were super clean. And that's what Prabhupada would see. You can tell that. You can see the mode of goodness. It's clean. And when it's not, you can see ignorance. And so then, what's wrong? The spiritual consciousness. In other words, people are focusing in the wrong area or overbalancing something. Or that's what you have to take care of. That's the leadership. Managers will see the schedules and the money and all that kind of stuff. But if their consciousness is not right, then what's the point? So that's the aspect, is it's there. And so we see here, and this is what the focus is on. The detail, anybody who knows management knows what the detail is. You don't have to give it here. And if you do want it, the other shastras get into it. But here, it's the mentality, how it is, how it's coming down, that surrender to Lord Chaitanya, that enthusiasm for devotional service, of serving Vaishnavas, that's the thing that you want to see. And that's what makes it work. Verses 185 to 196. The Lord meets with Haridas Thakur. 211, 185, 189. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet Haridas Thakur, and he saw him engaged in chanting the Maha Mantra with ecstatic love. Haridas chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As soon as Haridas Thakur saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately fell down like a stick to offer him obeisances. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised him up and embraced him. Then both the Lord and his servant began to cry in ecstatic love. Indeed, the Lord was transformed by the qualities of his servants. And the servant was transformed by the qualities of his master. So that's about qualities, you know. And these qualities means transcendental, you know, not four quadrant qualities or something, you know. That, right? Haridas Thakur said, My dear Lord, please do not touch me, for I am most fallen and untouchable and am the lowest among men. The Lord said, I wish to touch you just to be purified, for your purified activities do not exist in me. Srila Prabhupada, this is an example of the reciprocation of feelings between master and servant. The servant thinks that he is most impure and that the master should not touch him. And the master thinks that because he has become impure by associating with so many impure living entities, he should touch a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur just to purify himself. Just like the holy place becomes impure, then it touches the pure devotees, then it becomes purified. So then, like he says here, the spiritual master then is dealing with so many people, he becomes impure. So by associating with the Vaishnavas, that's where he becomes purified. You know? So that's the thing. That's the thing when the devotees get together. Most of the time it's all on, you know, what are we doing for the entertainment? But the point is what about the senior men interacting and having that facility? Like, does that make sense? Like, I always thought it was interesting. Like in Chopati, they have a special Vyasasan there. It's a Vyasasan that six people can sit on, but at the same time there's a spot on it that it has kind of the special back and that, you know, where you can see that, you know, if one person sat there and they sat at that place, they're on the Vyasasan. But the other thing, the whole thing's raised and carved and everything like this, but it's like a big couch, you know, like, you know, the L-shaped couches, and then the corner is that one seat. So if one person's giving lectures there, but if he has, you know, God brothers or others, that they all sit there, and then, you know, they'll speak, and then what do you say? And then they'll all say something, and like this, and they'll all go. And then they'll spend the time together, they'll eat together, they'll do all these things. You know, and so that's valued. And the devotees are inspired to see the senior devotees together, how they interact, because they don't know how to do that. You know, with each other, they generally like to, you know, scratch and bite and howl and, you know, like that. And so then, but some yatras you go to, they think they're wasting their money if two senior Vaishnavas are there at once. You know, because, you know, we spend that much money and we get, you know, morning and evening class. And if there's two guys here, we only get one class and one. It says, you know, it's a half. We're spending double the money. But then the association between those, this and that, and them seeing that, they never get to see. They have no idea. And you'll see the devotees, they have no idea how to associate because they never see it. And so this is the difference between those yatras that have community and those that don't. Because you see those that have community, you see many senior Vaishnavas together at one place at one time doing everything together. And all the other devotees, they're just happy to watch that. Right? So that's part of community. So it has to be appreciated that purity is there. If you are the big guy, how are you purifying yourself? Lord Chaitanya is taking advantage of the pure devotees. The holy Dham takes advantage of the pure devotees. Right? So he said, wherever you go, it becomes Vrindavan. That means Lord Chaitanya is a Tirtha, so he appreciates this. Though he's the supreme pure. But that's just the nature. That's what you like to do. You know, the Dham can purify itself no problem. Like devotees, I think in, I can't remember the year, maybe 75, no, a little bit later. Yeah, maybe 75, 76. There was this time when they were all talking about World War III. And everybody's worried about that. They're going on the walks. And then they were making the point to Prabhupada, you know, it's like, you know, if there's a nuclear war, then the top 2 feet of, you know, dirt you have to take off and this and that, saying so many things like that, you know, can't work, can't live, like that. And what to do, and Prabhupada was kind of like, what, you know, what are you going to die today or tomorrow? So what happens if it's a little earlier or a little later? You know, and all these different kinds of things. They were. Oh, how did we get into that? Anyone know how we got into that?
Community.
Yeah, it was community. But I'm just trying to think, how was that there an example?
Taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, they were so worried about that, and rather than just take advantage, or like before, it was like everybody would be evening arctic, all everybody's there, morning arctic, the program. During the day, you'd all go down to the Ganga and that, and you know, all the different senior devotees would be doing something. Someone was reading from Nectar Devotion, someone Chaitanya Charitamrita, someone from this, someone from that. You sit and let, and when you get hot, go back to Ganga, then come out. And then, you know, the day was spent like that. And now it's like everybody's managing, so I've done my management here and then I leave because I got to go manage somewhere else. There's no association. And so you don't have these things. And then devotees don't see that, and so then you don't have. So they.
93 and 94, these were the only 2 years that every single GBC guru in sannyasi went on Brahma Bhakti retreat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah. You know, all the senior men were out camping out and everything and like that. So they spend the time together because the association was all about that. So it was moving it up from just Jiva Doya to also include Vaishnava Seva and Nama Ruchi. But then somehow or another that slipped between the fingers. Yeah. I think it was about purification. Oh, yeah, that was it. And so then Prabhupada mentioned, they're saying, oh, but then they have this. Oh, that was it. Then they're saying, you know, if there's atomic, you know, holocaust, then, you know, for 10,000 years, nothing can happen. And Prabhupada said, material nature is so powerful, she can clean it up in a moment. You know? In a moment. Like Chernobyl is like one of the most verdant places on the planet. You know, every species of life that they thought were extinct are there. You know?
It's a tourist spot.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and that's 30 years after, and they say, oh, for 10,000 years you can. What are they talking about? Material nature is much more powerful than that. That's the thing, we think we're the ultimate power. You know? We destroy the planet, then they'll be like that. We have to move to another planet, you know, like that, because we destroyed this one. No, it's just, it'll go on. So that's the whole point. We're not as important as we make ourselves out to be. And so when we see is that is there. So my point was is the Dham can purify itself, but that association of Vaishnavas, that's the nice thing. So Lord Chaitanya, he is the Tirtha, he is everything, but he likes to associate. So the point is Vaishnavas associate with Vaishnavas. Actually, both the servant and the master are already purified because neither of them is in touch with the impurities of material existence. They are already equal in quality because both of them are the purest. There is a difference in quantity, however, because the master is unlimited and the servant is limited. Consequently, the servant always remains subordinate to the master, and this relationship is eternal. Is eternal and undisturbed. As soon as the servant feels like becoming the master, he falls into Maya. Thus, it is by misuse of free will that one falls under the influence of Maya. So this is our misuse of free will, then we have difficulty with these things. But if we just follow the example that's given and follow that, one could say, oh, that's so simplistic, but it's actually that simple. It may take years of work, but it's that simple. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. So we have to start from there. It is that simple. But as Prabhupada said, it's sublime. It's, you know, it has so much sophistication to it, refinement. But the point is, it's that simple. So if you keep that, then you start building. But if you don't know what you're dealing with, then how do you, what do you make? Okay. Yeah, so now this all goes on with Haridas Thakur. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.